Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi. Hi, everybody out there.
Hey.
How are you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing good. And today, our guest is, and I hope I pronounced your last name correctly, Jennifer Hartzog, and you are an expert in chronic pain. Now, Jennifer, why don't we start with what got you into this and what you know about it?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And welcome to all your guests, too.
Oh, thank you. We were just saying great timing to have you here because I'm ready to learn something about pain since I got fatigued all over. It's not headache. It's not one place. Kind of like an all over fatigue. Maybe it's the heat, whatever. But I think that this is a good time because whatever it is, a lot of people are feeling fatigue. Full body.
Yes. Yes. The chronic fatigue syndrome.
In summer? What kind of syndrome?
Sorry?
What kind of
the
syndrome
chronic
is
fatigue,
it?
It's called chronic fatigue syndrome. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I am, but is that, even if you don't have it every single day, I mean, what's the criteria to have that? How bad is it to be able to say that's what you have?
Obviously, fatigue, of course. I mean, that's, you know, obvious. But it's one of those things that, of course, if you're feeling tired a lot and perhaps some pain along with it, it's something that, you know, diagnosed by a doctor. With chronic fatigue, it may or may not be present all the time. You know, it kind of depends on your situation. Sometimes there's pain along with it. Sometimes there's other symptoms. It's actually caused by a virus that is affecting a lot of people, and it's the underlying root cause for a lot of mystery illnesses like chronic fatigue syndrome. And that virus is called Epstein-Barr virus. And about 90% of the population has it, although most people don't know it, and it actually doesn't show up for many people. Like, they don't even have any kind of symptoms, even for their entire life. It's just like one of those bugs that lives in our system.
Will you repeat that?
Yeah,
I didn't hear.
Sure. Epstein-Barr virus.
Oh, yes, I've heard of this.
Yes. So they've been doing some initial studies to link it to certain types of chronic illnesses that, you know, usually have been a mystery for a long time. Lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, chronic fatigue, as I said, fibromyalgia. So there's different things that are out there that they're starting to put together and realize that the Epstein-Barr virus is underneath all of these. And it can really wreak a lot of havoc for many people until they finally get diagnosed. And even with that, you know, it can be a journey. Oftentimes people will go to several doctors before they realize that that is what's causing it. So there's actually a test that you can go. You have to ask for it specifically when you go to your doctor and say that you want the Epstein-Barr virus test. And there's some specific tests that you need to ask for. I can even bring those up if you want. But in terms of the test, you know, you'll have to ask if your insurance covers it. But most likely, like I said, most like 90% of the population has it. So chances are that, you know, if you're 9 out of 10 people, you probably have it. But it just depends on, like, whether it's actually one of the causes or the main cause for, you know, the issues that you're experiencing.
You know, I have a question about that. This is to do with chronic fatigue. You know, I've heard that the thing that's really tricky about chronic fatigue is because I saw an episode of The Golden Girls about this. It was apparently, and what they said was they said the hard part about all this is that it's an intangible. I mean, it's like, it's like, well, you know, define tired. I mean, like I was, if I don't take coffee,
right,
I get tired. But the thing is that I'm still able to do my job. I'm still able to do the show. And, you know, it doesn't hurt those things. But you understand what I'm saying. It's like there's, mm-hmm. you know, but of course they get tired easily. And I
not
have
just tired, though. Not just tired. She said your whole body is fatigued. And, you know, it ebbs and flows. It's not the same every single day. Everybody must be different. It's way more than being tired. Right, Jennifer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it curable?
You know, so with chronic fatigue, it's a great question. I mean, my specialty is in chronic pain. I've been actually diagnosed myself as chronic fatigue, although it was interesting because when my doctor told me that, I was like, well, I have pain, but I'm not that tired. But then I realized that perhaps she was right, that I was experiencing some fatigue, you know, and basically, like, you know, it's fatigue for over 6 months, you know, so it doesn't necessarily improve with rest. Like, you can sleep and sleep and sleep and just not feel like you actually got the rest that you needed. And then typically what I see for myself and, you know, and my clients is, like, when we are exerting ourselves, you know, like, just a normal workout that the average person would be able to do, it feels like extra effort, and we tend to be more fatigued or tired afterwards. So, I like to believe that everything is curable. Some people might argue that with me. Because it's, you know, it's linked to the Epstein-Barr virus. Some people believe that viruses, you know, you can't get rid of them. I believe in all things are possible, including miracles. So I believe that it's possible to heal from whatever's going on. Obviously, like, you know, each person has their own journey, and some things are a lot harder than others. But I like to hold on to hope, personally. So,
what do you
know,
do to heal yourself?
That's a great question. So, I have a bunch of different techniques and tools that I use, and that I call it my pain solutions toolkit. And when I'm working with people, I have 10 different techniques that I use with my clients, and 8 of which I can do remotely. And so what I have found with chronic pain and also, like, any kind of chronic illness is that, you know, oftentimes we want to find that, like, that one magic bullet that's just going to make it all go away, right? And unfortunately, I don't think we've actually found that just yet as a society. You know, a magic pill, exactly. We have found so many different techniques. There's so much available to us now than ever before. You know, you think about, like, just all the different forms of healing. And I think part of the challenge in, you know, figuring out how to heal yourself is just, what do I do next, right? And so what I have found is that it's more like solving a puzzle versus finding that magic pill or that magic bullet. And, you know, each person's puzzle looks different. And that's why, you know, solving pain can be so challenging, and solving chronic health issues, because, you know, what might work for you may not work for me, right? So it's a matter of, like, well, what are my missing pieces? What do I have to do to figure out what puzzle pieces I need for myself? And so there's some common pieces that I see for everybody, but there's also some unique pieces too. So
can you diagnose Johnny on air?
What?
Well, he's crazy.
You didn't hear that?
What about what?
You didn't hear that, Johnny?
Moving on.
I asked her if she could diagnose you on air.
Oh, okay.
And
I
said that you're just crazy, so.
Yeah, yeah.
She's already diagnosed you, so you can sit back and relax.
Okay, good.
But, yeah, today I have more pain, so I would say it's chronic, but I think also our bodies, I mean, we put our bodies through so much, and we get to certain ages, we've had so many accidents, and then we're stiff, mm-hmm. maybe. We stop being as active, we're stiff, and that is making it worse. I think sometimes you do have to go and work out and just get out and walk. You have to get over that hurdle of, I'll just sit here and be in pain, right? You have to get out,
yeah.
from the pressure and move your body, because sometimes I'll just walk across the room after sitting for hours working, and I feel like my legs are so heavy, they can't even work. They don't even work.
Mm.
They're so paralyzed, like maybe dehydrated or something, but it's not good. It's since this summer has been, it's been happening to me.
Well, one of the things I say is movement brings more movement. So the body was made to move. So of course, yes, exactly what you're saying, like keep moving. And at the same time, when we're in pain, yes, like oftentimes there's a hesitancy or even fear that I don't want to move because it's going to hurt. Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to break.
So sometimes, like, you know, we have to look at it from a new perspective, like, well, I, you know, I can't move this way or it's going to hurt. And then we start to restrict our movements. But if we can focus on what we can do instead of what we can't do, you know, and even if it's, if, I mean, let's say you're, you know, someone is having a really tough time. Like, I've talked with people who have, you know, been bedridden for years, and it's, I mean, I can only imagine like how challenging that must be. I've had my own challenges, but you know, we all have our own path. And at the same time, like, can you move your hand? You know, can you move your head? Can you shake your head? Yes or no? You know, can you?
Do you even have
can
a,
you
inc- a leg or two?
Yeah. Can you introduce some kind of?
Jennifer, I just wanted to interject to that. I thought of thinking, like how you said, think in a different perspective. My cousin, just a couple of days ago, he had to have his leg amputated. He's only in his 50s.
Oh.
And
oh, God.
Oddball infection he got, and he just went to the hospital. He didn't know how close he was to dying from the infection, so they had to amputate it. It was an emergency. Boom, he just has no leg.
Wow.
And he put a picture on Facebook of it. Like, he's very strong mentally, thank God. But, wow, he's in his 50s. He's in a rock band. And now, so I thought, well, at least I have my legs.
Yes, exactly. And you know, that's one of those things to remember, like, okay, I do have a body, you know, whether it's fully capable or not, you know, and pain can be a detriment sometimes in terms of being that fully capable as we want to be. But, you know, I can spend a lot of time in my brain thinking about all the things that I can't do and that I wish I could do if it wasn't for the pain, or I can focus on, okay, what can I do today? You know, and that may vary, right? Like, one day may be easier than the next. So
do you think, do you know if people can have this, can get this virus if they haven't had an accident? So are you saying somebody who's never had accidents can get this virus and then be in pain for no reason because they have this virus?
The virus, I mean, it's transmitted, unfortunately, fairly easily, you know, and it's like, are you familiar with mononucleosis, mono, the kidney disease?
It's
that
makes you tired, right?
What's that?
You get really tired when you have mono, right?
Exactly. And that is actually the second stage of the Epstein-Barr virus. So, you know, whether you have an accident or not, like, you can get it just by kissing someone, essentially. So
I trigger it. An accident might trigger it, though, with, you know, you might have a little germ in there. Maybe your body's strong enough to ward it off, or maybe you're not. Maybe you're susceptible. And so then it might make whatever's going on worse, feeling worse. Like, my shoulder, my rotator cuff hurts. Well, now it really hurts, you know. Does this virus make it harder to heal that fighting in your body?
It can, especially if you don't know that you have it, of course. What it does is it focuses on the nerve sheaths. So, like, if you have an accident, right, or, like, in my case, I had a repetitive stress injury in my arm, and, like, that I should have healed from, like, very quickly compared to the average person. And I couldn't heal as fast because the virus kind of, like, focuses on those weak points. And, you know, it's kind of like, imagine, like, a sweater where the yarn is starting to, you know, fray apart. Like, those, it will feed on the nerves and, like, basically kind of start to fray them apart like that. So, it likes to burrow down into our organs and kind of hide out there. And like I said, for many people, I know, yuck, right? For many people, like, they won't even feel it. They won't have any awareness of it. They'll have no symptoms there for their entire life. But if you do have an accident, or if there's a stressful time in your life, even like hormonal changes, like during pregnancy or menopause, like, it can activate the virus and then, like, basically put it into the next stage, where sometimes, like, there's two dormant stages, the first and the third, and then the second is the mononucleosis, and then the fourth is, like, where it starts to show up in as different symptoms.
Like, tell everybody like what it's called again so they can
ask
their doctor for the test.
Definitely. Epstein-Barr virus. And I'll spell it as E, P as in pretty, S as in Sam, T as in tree, EIN-BARR. And specifically, there's, and we can add this to the show notes if you like. So there's, you would ask for the positive and negative VCA/IgM antibodies test, and the EBV early antigen D as in dog IgG test, because they both provide good information.
Because I'm going to go get a blood test soon.
Yeah, so, and I'll be glad to, you know, send you all that information. It's that will tell you basically whether, like, you know, tell you more about whether the Epstein-Barr virus is active or was active.
Or was. So it goes dormant.
Yeah.
You said it likes to hide in the organs. So it is kind of, it is gross sounding. And what's even gross, it made me think about, when we all learned about, like, the STDs, the herpes virus, it goes into the spine. It dormants down into the spine, and that's creepy to me. Okay, so this goes to the organs. Ooh. How can we see it besides the blood test if it's in your organs?
So, to my knowledge, currently that's the latest that we have for the tests, and they are good, but they're also somewhat limited. And a lot of this information I'm getting from Anthony William, who wrote the book Medical Medium, and he also talks about thyroid healing, and it particularly can focus on the thyroid, and we see that as, like, in Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism. So, you know, he has a protocol that I have found has worked to some degree. I've actually done, like, four different protocols for it myself. To answer your earlier question, I have been able to get a lot of healing by addressing this underlying root cause, which, unfortunately, as I mentioned, like, can be this hidden root cause for a lot of people. That's like one of the big puzzle pieces. It's not for everybody, obviously, in terms of the pain puzzle. But I think it is worth looking at, you know, if you have pain, especially if it's like mystery pain that you don't know where it came from. Like, I wish that I had known about this years ago, because I spent several decades, you know, two decades, like, trying to figure out what was causing it. Nobody could answer.
Where was your pain? Your arm? You had an arm pain?
I actually had it all over. It started, to answer your early question, it started in my wrist when I was 15, and there was no explanation. You know, there was nothing that had happened. I hadn't strained them or anything. But, like, prior to that, about 6 months earlier, I was in three low-speed car accidents as a passenger. But there was no pain at that point. So I was like, well, surely, like, 6 months later, why would the pain start then, right? Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, I didn't have any pain initially.
Yeah,
so I never thought it was related.
I have a question.
And then it starts.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, like, for example, me and Barbara, we have a friend, I won't say her name, but she was in a rollerblading accident. And I don't know if this person is experiencing chronic pain. Barbara, you know who I'm speaking about, right?
Well, yes. I don't know. I mean, is she going to come on the show and talk about it?
I don't know.
Or are we
going to
talk about ours? Because I don't know anybody who doesn't have pain, really. Everybody has pain. Everybody I've ever met seems to have pain. Okay? So I have it. You know, I fell down the stairs forward and then off the staircase. Yeah. I mean, most of the people who fall down staircases usually end up dead. So that was 3 years ago, and I have different pains all the time. And when you talked about your pain that you didn't know why it was there, same thing just happened with my shoulder. I woke up like that.
Yeah.
It feels like just in certain weird motions, like I can't pull like my cover over me in a laid down position. But I'm standing up, then I can lift a weight up. Isn't that weird? I don't know what happened. I woke up like that.
Mm-hmm. I hear that too. You know, I from some of my clients, like I just woke up one day like this. You know, I don't know what happened. And sometimes, you know, it could be something as simple as, you know, the pillow sucks. You need a new pillow, right? Or the mattress, you know, is old or, you know, needs to be flipped around. And then sometimes it's something completely different where, you know, maybe kind of the it was perfect storm in the sense that, you know, maybe you had some stress going on in your life and you were, you know, working really hard a couple of days before and then, you know, your boss was mad at you and it just all came together and, you know, you
maybe.
Didn't think it was anything relevant, but then the next day you wake up like that.
Yeah, maybe you just flung the garbage into the big bin wrong, and then you just forgot that you quirked
mm-hmm.
it wrong, you know, and didn't think of, I hurt myself a lot, and I have a bruise, and I don't even know how I got it. So maybe it's something like that, and we just need to stay more mobile, more, so then we do something like that we should handle. It won't pull ourselves out of whack. You know, we need to keep doing yoga and stretch exercises and meditation and walking outside, and you need to get sunlight every day as well. That has a lot to do with releasing certain hormones in your body that are very important daily, correct?
It's true, yeah. There's a book called The Vitamin D Solution, and it's all about vitamin D, of course, and how important it is and how a lot of people don't have enough vitamin D. I mean, the normal... and I'll say normal, but not optimal. The normal rate is around like 30 for the population, but the optimal rate is more like 70 or 80. So that's another good thing to get checked is your vitamin D levels if you go to your doctor after that. So
okay.
Blood test can do for you. Yep. And
that's
vitamin
if you don't
D
ask,
is actually
you don't get.
What's that?
If you don't ask, you don't get. It's not like they're going to send you to
exactly.
get all these kinds of tests. If you definitely have to ask. I had to ask for some basic blood tests. And then I even had to wait a month before they had an opening. They're really booked. I mean, they were so busy, these labs. But it's important.
Yes.
You
and
can rule out
a
lot
link.
Of things.
Yes, exactly. They found a link to... people who were getting COVID tended to have lower vitamin D levels versus people who had higher vitamin D levels. So I thought that was interesting.
It is. Wow.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
when you have gotten vaccinated, can you give us an update about that? How often should we get vaccinated for COVID?
So that's actually kind of outside of my research. So I leave that up to the COVID experts. And obviously that's a whole other conversation in itself. But I think it's obviously something that's good to talk about with your doctor, especially if you have other health issues. You know, some people feel that they need to have a COVID vaccine, and I totally respect that. And some people are very adamant against it. And I respect that too, you know, and for different medical reasons, you know, they might lean toward one way toward versus the other.
Oh, wow. Well, what have you gotten better? Let's just say, have you gotten better since you figured out what you have? So you are diagnosed with this and Epstein-Barr, and is it better just because you know what you have?
It is, you know, it's funny because, like, for the longest time, I didn't know what it was, and I just thought that I have pain and nobody knows why, and it just must be my body sucks, you know? And
mm-hmm.
when I finally found out about the virus and the symptoms that it has, that it causes, I literally started crying because it was like, oh my gosh, it's not just something wrong with my body that's unexplainable. Like, there's actually a name for it. And at the same time, I think it's sometimes a little bit tricky because I know that my mind can get fixated on the label, right? And I want to look beyond the label and you know, do what I can to help my body to heal rather than trying to resist or push against what's quote-unquote wrong with me. You know, and,
I'm glad. I know how you feel about the crying when you find even a person who's a doctor listens to you and acknowledges you, actually took in what you just told them. Unlike a lot of friends who are too busy to hear about your ailments and that will never remember anyway. But the doctor, that happened to me recently, and I got home and I did cry too because it was such a release. When somebody understands your medical condition and cares and shows you care, all that, it's breakthroughs. And it is an emotional thing. I understand.
Sure. Very much so. Yeah, and it's, you know, anybody who's had pain, especially chronic pain, knows how challenging it can be. I mean, for me, like, I think of it in terms of, like, I'm trying to run a marathon, and I have a bowling ball attached to my foot. And I'm just trying to keep up with everybody else, you know, and I just have this constant thing weighing me down, and I just can't keep up. I can't do as much as I want to do. I can't go as fast as I want to go. You know, and I feel like I'm behind, you know, and I can't keep up with the race because this constant thing, you know, has been dragging me down all this time. And, you know, it's definitely like a psychological challenge to say the least. You know, it's like a battle almost to deal with chronic pain because especially if you have it every day, and then you wake up with it, you go to the bed with it, you know, and then you wake up in the middle of the night with it. And it's just this constant reminder. And, you know, I've had it every single day myself for 25 years. And for the first, like, 22, I didn't know about the virus, you know. But I tried other things to try to fix it, of course, to try to get rid of it. And
like what?
Some of them helped to some degree. Yeah, you know, I went to the chiropractor, did the massage, you know, acupuncture, biofeedback, different energy kind of work, you know, prayer. And the thing is like, all of those are excellent forms of healing. And like I said before, you know, there's no one size fits all solution. So it might be that, you know, the chiropractor helps, let's say if your pain level is like at a 7 and it brings it down to a 5 for 3 days, that's an improvement, you know, but it may not be the only thing that you need to do. There might be something else in addition to that. There might be some inflammation going on. There might be some stress. You know, there might be some kind of mind-body connection. It could be any number of things, and that's, of course, why, like, you know, it can be challenging to solve pain, but that's why I have my pain puzzle process is to help people figure out, like, what are your missing puzzle pieces. Because I don't know about you, but if you've ever put a puzzle together and you get to the very end and there's just a few pieces missing, it's so frustrating, right? And
well,
it's the same thing with chronic pain.
I mean, Johnny, why aren't you telling us about your pain? It's not just about me today. Even though Johnny wanted to talk about my pain. We already talked about mine. Let's talk about yours.
Okay. Now, I will say this, that... You know, there are things that have happened in the past couple of days that I can talk about. Now, I'm not bedridden, but I can, like, what I've noticed is that there has been a pain in my lower back, and there's a little bit of a pain in my arm, but that's about it. But I do wonder sometimes what causes it, because, you know, I go for walks to the gas station. And I do wonder, like, you know, what's actually causing it all. And I wondered about a lot of things because I think what it is just because of my age. I'm 50. And you start wondering, you know, about demographic-wise, you know, you start thinking what's going on. Not necessarily being a hypochondriac, but just because of the fact that you're 50. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what arthritis is. I don't know what, you know, what hernias are. I don't know what, you understand what I'm saying? So, I'm a little bit in the dark.
I will say one thing, you know, and I hear this a lot, you know, oh, the doctor told me, you know, I'm just getting older, or like everybody gets pain when they're older, you know, it's part of aging. Well, here's the thing. Like, my pain started when I was 15, And I have talked to people who are in their 80s and even 90s who tell me I feel good. So it's not just a matter of like, oh, I'm getting older and that the pain is inevitably going to be there.
It's interesting. No. Speaking of getting older, you know, on Friday, we have like Dale on, and Dale has a friend of hers that she keeps on with us called Richard. This is the guy that she takes care of, and Richard's like 90 something. And
it's gonna be 94.
You know,
we're having a birthday show for him this Friday. He's gonna be 94 on the 13th of August.
And it's like
never.
It's like amazing that somebody that active at 90, you know.
I know. They go swimming. That's the key. That's what she's saying. And just to stay active. But also, I want to know how you guys met because. Oh, you have great energy, and Johnny always finds great people out and about doing courses and educating himself more. How did you guys meet each other?
We were in a group together called, it was a boot camp, actually, about just connecting with people and getting your message out there more and serving the people who you need to serve and who need your work. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Everybody from boot camp definitely. Is amazing. You just hit the nail on the head to get your word out there and tell all of our listeners where we can find you on social media.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. So I do have a website. It's healyourpain.solutions. That's heal as in I want to heal myself. healyourpain.solutions. And then I'm also on Facebook. You can find me under my company name called Back on Your Feet. And I also have a Facebook group that you're welcome to join called Solving Chronic Pain with Jennifer Hartzog. And I'd be glad to share those links with you guys as well.
Well, I think I've heard of you before. I may know you. Your last name sounds so familiar. Where do you live?
It could possibly be. I'm near Chicago. Yeah. But I work with people all over the world.
Okay. Well, I'll know once I get to your site and see you, right? There's photos. What can we see on your website?
Yep. So actually, there is a video on my website it's a free video, and I talk about how I got rid of 20 years of pain in 20 minutes.
And it's on our description, our show description.
Yes. Yeah. So if you
can
click
you tell
on the show
us
notes,
a little bit?
Look,
wow. Can you? I don't want to let the whole cat out of the bag, but tell us a little bit how to do it. Everybody's going to want to.
Sure. So, I mean, obviously, you know, results may vary. My lawyer told me to say that. What I've discovered from working with over 1,300 people with pain over the years since 2006 is that, you know, there's certain common underlying hidden root causes. And, like, we talked about one of them already today, the Epstein-Barr virus. And then there's other root causes that need to be addressed. And typically when pain hasn't gone away, it's not that it's not possible for it to go away. It's not that it's, you know, you can't heal it. It's just that you haven't addressed all the underlying root causes. You're still missing a few of your pieces to your puzzle, essentially. So what I do is I help my clients to figure out, like, what are those missing pieces? And in the case of Maria, which is, you know, one of basically the star of the show in terms of the video, she had an underlying root cause that she hadn't addressed. She had fibromyalgia for over 20 years, and she was able to really heal a lot of it, you know, to get better from it, but she still had chronic pain in her shoulders that was at a constant 6. And, you know, if she even, like, touched her own shoulders, the pain would go up, and then if someone would give her a hug, it would, like, shoot up to a 10, and she was, like, literally practically in tears whenever someone was hugging her. And, you know, even at her, like, her...
Oh, my.
I think it was her mother's funeral. You know, people were like, oh, I'm so sorry, let me give you a hug. She was like, oh, my God, no. You know, please don't hug me.
Ow.
And because it was so it was so painful, you know, and it's like, can you imagine being at a funeral for your family member that you love and you're in such physical pain and emotional pain and you need that comfort and you just can't even, you can't take it because it hurts so much.
She
had looked at, you know, diet. She worked with, you know, changing her food and exercise and all that, but she was still missing one important key underlying root cause. And that's what I talk about in the video. So you'll have to go check it out.
Oh, good. I want to find mine now. I want to find it out. Everybody's going to want to. If we could fix that much, those years of pain. I'm wondering a friend who went through that 10 years of fibromyalgia or 20?
It was 20 for Maria, yeah.
20? But doesn't she feel like she's missed out on a lot of life? Because can you really enjoy life to its fullest when you're in so much pain nonstop?
It's definitely harder, for sure. I think that was hard for her, and I feel that with a lot of my clients and myself, you know, it's like, I want to go out and have fun, and I don't feel like it, you know, and I want to be able to, you know, be there for my kids or my grandkids. You know, that's what I hear from my clients, and they're, you know, either not able to get on the floor because of the pain, they can't hang out with their grandchildren, you know, they can't do the gardening that they want to do, you know, be able to go golfing or just, you know, go out with friends and socialize. It's, you know,
the golfing,
someone who doesn't have chronic. Yes, yeah, and, you know, for someone who doesn't have chronic pain, it's hard to understand, like, what it's like to be in a body that has that constant source of discomfort, you know, and then, I mean, it's not always easy to ignore, right? You know, it's like...
Mentally as well.
Yes,
you're
exactly.
You're dealing
with
people who don't believe you, probably.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest things, especially if... Yeah, if you know someone who has pain or who says that they have pain, like, believe them. Like, oh, my gosh, believe them. Because most likely they are in a lot of pain, and they wouldn't be saying it
if
they don't have it. You know?
Like, a good example of it is that my ex-girlfriend had fibromyalgia, and it was, like, one time we – you know, because she didn't have a lot of money. I had more money than she did at the time. And so I bought her one of those back massagers, those things that you sit on and they vibrate. And I'm telling you, she was in tears when she got it. She was like, I can't believe you did that. I mean, it's just.
Those
it
are
was,
great.
Yeah, well, she,
it's from getting
I mean,
a nice gift. And it feels good, too. It's a good thing to have.
Well, what it was that she had a hard time asking for things. It was one of those people that had a hard time asking for things. And what had happened was we walked by this these back massagers, and I was sort of distracted. So later on, you know, after a few weeks later, I decided that I was just going to, you know, buy her one. And, you know, it arrived, and she, you know, I mean, it was really touched, so.
That's nice of you.
Beautiful. Yeah, you know, someone who's suffering with pain, like anything that you can do, you know, even if you can't necessarily buy them something or it's just not prudent at the moment, like just being present and listening to them, you know, like just giving support and just telling them, like, I want to know more about what you're going through. Like, tell me what it's like for you. You know, because oftentimes we get really busy and, you know, kind of forget and that someone else that we may love is suffering, you know, and oftentimes, yeah, like I've recognized that, like, I tend to hold stuff inside and my clients, like, I see that pattern of just like, well, I don't want to burden anybody with my pain and, you know, or like, they already know I'm in pain. What else am I going to say? You know, and the thing is like, yeah, but you're still dealing with it. You know, you're still dealing with it every day. And if, you know, it's hard to hold that inside and deal with it just yourself. Like, it's a lot for any one person to deal with, you know, and if you know that the people around you care about what you're going through, like, it helps to lessen the burden, you know, and if you don't have someone that, you know, in your life like that, like, I would, you know, of course, join my Facebook group, right? We support each other, but beyond that, like, find people, whether it's online or, you know, just, there's oftentimes, like, local support you know, in terms of chronic pain, see if there's a support group in your area. I offer them myself. I have a program that I help people to heal from pain. So, you know, and we support each other because it's too much for one person to deal with that constant source of pain in their body.
Wow.
Yeah, pain is pain. Okay, I want to ask this one thing, though, about pain. Your friend who couldn't even be hugged or touched, is that the kind of pain it radiates, or are other people lucky to where if they go get a massage, it would make it feel better?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not sure exactly what was going on with her. I mean, I know it was just like a constant pain in her shoulders. And, you know, I mean, massage, I love massage. I think it's great. And it does nothing for me in terms of making my pain go away, because my pain is caused by a virus. And the virus, like,
wow,
you know, the massage isn't going to, like, make the virus go away, right? So, and before I knew this, like, I would go and get a massage. I was like, oh, this does not feel so good. And then, like, 2 hours later, like, the pain would be somewhere else. I'm like, what the heck? You know?
Is this in the muscles or the skin, or is it sometimes a headache? What kind of pain is it? How can you describe it? Is it sharp?
It varies for different people. For me, like, it was, you know, primarily muscular. Sometimes it shows up in the joints. You know, the Epstein-Barr virus can cause, like, migraines, like a kind of a brain fog, hazy feeling. You know, it definitely varies. And as I mentioned, like, you know, once it develops into one of those kind of chronic mystery illnesses like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, then it takes on those symptoms. So that's one of the reasons why it's been so challenging to figure it out, because it's, you know, it kind of has, I think there's like 60 different forms of it. So that's kind of our issue.
My question is, what's the difference between chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia? Do they know the difference?
That's a good question. So fibromyalgia has a specific test for it, where I believe it's 18 different points where basically your doctor will push on you. You have to go in and get it, you know, tested by your doctor, and they'll push on those 18 spots. And depending on, like, the tenderness of those spots, they can determine whether it's fibromyalgia or not. So, but I've also heard some people say it's kind of like a catch-all phrase for when they don't know exactly what's wrong with you. They say, well, maybe it's fibromyalgia. So,
fibromyalgia, they said that to my mother, she had a lung disease. So, yeah, she was misdiagnosed, definitely.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I always like to tell people is, like, yes, definitely go to your doctor. Like, try to find out if they can help you figure out what's going on. And you might also want to get a second opinion. You know, like, my father had, you know, ongoing lower back pain towards the end of his life, and he went to the chiropractor, you know, got adjusted, and it just didn't seem to go away. And eventually, in the very end, like, he found out that he had cancer down there in his bones and in his organs. So, you know, not to scare people, but just, like, it is wise to try to get checked out. And, like, like I said, I was resistant to trying to figure out if there was some kind of diagnosis, because nobody seemed to know, so I just gave up. But I wish that I hadn't given up. You know, I wish I had tried to figure out what was going on with me and then how to solve it a lot sooner, because I gave up for many years. And that's not a good place to be in.
How did you carry on a job when you're in so much pain?
I tried to ignore it. You know, that's one of the challenges, like, that a lot of us have is, you know, even just having a regular job can be difficult or even impossible. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you can talk to your employer and tell them what you're going through, there might be some adjustments that you can make, you know, maybe working from home part-time or, you know, having a more flexible schedule. Obviously, like, you know, a stressful job is probably not going to be the best solution. So, and was not smart about that for many years. I chose stressful jobs, which didn't help.
My question is, do you think, like, over the next, say, 20 years, they're going to know more about this? Because, I mean, like, for example, my ex-girlfriend, I mean, she had, you know, they tried everything. I mean, it was like medicine. It mm-hmm. didn't matter what it was. You know, it was just, and you could talk to her and she would be like, it took her everything. You know, she cleaned her brother's office and it took everything out of her to do it.
Yeah. I mean, to answer your question, modern medicine is amazing, and we're also expanding in other directions too in terms of like alternative medicine. You know, there's so many different resources available out there for us nowadays, and we've come a long way from like the days when we used to use leeches and, you know, drill holes in our craniums and
one
put
thing
things out.
That so. I've heard One thing I've heard that Jerry Lewis did was he, what they do is they take the source of the pain and then they eliminate it. They just sort of, instead of relaxing, what they do is they take your pain and then they just, you know, cut it off at the source where you can't feel it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they have new devices. They have obviously new medications that they're coming out with, you know, on a regular basis that address the different ways that our neural pathways are, you know, throughout the body and, you know, helping the body to basically cut off that message. The thing is that, like, the body is giving us pain as a signal for a reason. So, you know, sometimes pain is obviously a physiological issue, like in the case of an accident, or if there is some visible reason on an MRI or an X-ray that's causing it. And then sometimes pain is not so readily apparent as far as the reason. So, you know, if we're cutting off the message from the body, then we're not necessarily getting that feedback, you know, and so there may be something that we need to adjust. And at the same time, if you're in severe pain, you might need that in order to be able to function. You know, like, and, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't want to take any drugs. And, like, I totally get that. And at the same time, like, if you're at a level 10 every single day, the drugs might help, you know, to bring the pain level down so that you can feel better. So there is that. I mean, obviously, there's over-the-counter, and then there's NSAIDs, there's opioids. We're having an issue, you know, major issue in this country with the opioid crisis. Yeah. So
Most people get addicted to opiates.
Yes, because they are addictive, of course. And unfortunately, like, it can be very, very debilitating to be addicted to them. And, you know, they've really changed the rules, the laws around that lately, and people are not able to get the access that they had before, and so that is causing a whole another problem, which is a whole other conversation in itself as well. So I never took opioids. I'm very grateful for that. But there was a time when I, you know, in order to function, I had to, you know, figure something out, you know, because I tried many different things, and I didn't want to use medication, but I also couldn't live my life, you know, and so for a time I did have to use that until I could figure out other solutions. And so, you know, I feel like every form of healing has its place.
I'm glad you're not alone. You know, you figured it out what you have. You don't feel alone, because that is awful when you don't know what's wrong with you, you know, and it's bad enough that you tell somebody and confide in them how you feel, and maybe they don't. They get perturbed, or you can't ever do anything because you don't feel well enough, and they get kind of mad, which is something you don't need to deal with emotionally when you are dealing with pain. But, you know, if you have a surgery or something, they have to give you Vicodin or Percocet, something like that. You have to be in a lot of pain to take that. So for you to have to have gone on that strong of pain, that's a lot. I don't like this, and there's no cure for this. Epstein-Barr?
Currently, there's ways to manage it. So I have not heard of a cure, but that doesn't mean that there's not one and that we won't come up with one. So there's ways to get it to go into remission where it doesn't cause issues. So That's my current knowledge of it. And if you know, if anybody knows about a cure, I definitely want to hear about it. So, for sure.
Well, I'm looking forward to going to your website. And hey, Joni, are we going to have her link in the bio of this
show? Yes, it's
show
all there.
On our Blog Talk Radio.
All
great,
there.
On Blog Talk Radio. And
we
will make sure
that
your link is there.
Before the show, so.
Oh, good. And Jennifer Hartzog, correct?
You got it. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That is a
very good.
I like that name. This is why I think I know you, but I'm going to go check your photos out and your story and your video. That sounds interesting, too, and hear about these people's journey. I know there's a lot of people out there who listen to our show that need help, especially with pain, a lot of things. And to be able to weed out, you know, just get the blood test so you can say, hey, okay, I don't have that. Now get to
right.
the bottom of it, one test at a time. Because your health, until you have your health taken away, you really don't know how much it means to you.
Yeah.
Don't
so
let it happen.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a,
I was
there's
so
a
tired, though.
From,
I'm so tired, literally just closing my eyes and laying down, not feeling guilty about taking that rest, even for 10 minutes. But usually 45 minutes works. I fall asleep right away. I wake up. I'm not groggy, and I am rejuvenated. I'm so glad I'm able to do that because I've been really proud of myself. I might as well tell Joni, too. I am not going to bed late ever. I go to bed around 11, the same time every night, even on the weekends now, and then get up at 7 or 8, depending, you know, 11 or 12, as long as you get 8 hours of sleep. I've been watching a lot around social media, so it'll be nice to have a new place where I can go get some information on how to take care of myself. There's always something you can learn from another who's passionate about something, which you seem to be very passionate about this, and you pretty much dedicated your life to it, right?
I have, kind of by default. You know, it wasn't my original intention at the age of 15 to be in pain for 25 years, but it ended up that way. And then in my journey to try to heal myself, I took some different trainings over the years and, you know, got certified in many different things and figured out what works, what doesn't. And then I started helping other people because I was like, well, you know, even if I was going to be in pain, at least I could start helping others too. So, and yes, I am passionate about it. So.
I don't even
I think
know how
married, yes.
old you are. Okay. And children? Do you have children too?
I have fur kids. I have doggy kids.
Oh, fur kids for now, maybe.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's good. Well, you sound like you're not in pain. Just your voice. I've never met you before, I don't think. So, but just hearing you, you give off great energy, like you're not in pain, at least right now. Am I right about that?
My pain level is like basically 80 to 90% improved. So, you know, like I used to be at a constant 7 to 8 on a daily basis, and now I'm like hover between like a 0 to a 2 most days. And if it goes above that, I typically know why. So, you know, because it's a virus, like it's one of those things that it's kind of like a constant daily management for me. And I know, you know, what works for that and what doesn't. So I could just by so much trial and error, but yeah, like I feel so much better than I ever have before. And you know, if you had told me that even like 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't believe you. You know, because I just given up hope. And
wow.
That's one of the things that I want to just leave your listeners with. Like, you know, if you've been in the space of trying many different things and then like nothing seems to work, and you're just like, okay, well, I'm giving up because nothing seems to be making a difference. Like, reconsider that decision, because I made that decision, you know, over probably 15 years ago. I was like, well, nothing's working, so I guess I just have to live in pain for the rest of my life. And I just gave up, and I lived with it. You know, that constant, like, level 7 to 8 every single day. And I wish that I had not given up, because I could have saved myself so many years of being in pain.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
did you just have to live like that, rubbing your neck all the time? Were you like, grimacing or just grinning and bearing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
all of the above, basically. You know, and so if you've been dealing with pain, my main message that I want to leave you with is don't give up, you know, no matter what. There's got to be a solution out there for you. Even if it's, you know, maybe not getting rid of the pain completely, but just having less pain, like, I know that would be an improvement. You know, for me, having so much less pain has made a world of a difference. You know, I'm able to do so much more now in my life versus before. And it is possible. It is possible. It's just a matter of figuring out what those missing pieces of the puzzle are for you.
Yes, that makes so much sense. And everybody's is going to be different. But I am excited to go to your website and read about your, you know, what worked for you. I don't think I have it, though, Jennifer, because I think my aches and pains come and go from just that fall. You know, my groin area and my hip connector right around there never has felt like it went back into place. I try to do so many different stretches for it. Maybe I should go to the chiropractor again, but it's really from those things. I don't have the chronic pain, though, from just, I don't think I have it. But should I still go get tested for it?
You could. I mean, it is something to consider. It's, you know, like you said, to rule out. With accidents, you know, one of those things that I talk about when my clients have had accidents is, like, typically there's a lot of, like, trauma or emotional energy wrapped up with the accident, you know, like the actual moment itself when it happened, and then going to the doctor, the hospital, and then, like, whatever the doctors said, and, you know, in terms of your ability to heal from it, sometimes doctors will say, well, you're always going to have pain, or, you know, there's a chance, you know, you'll never get better again. And so, like, those kinds of things can get lodged in our subconscious and prevent us from feeling better, you know, from healing. And then there's, like, all the emotional aspect of what happened afterwards too, you know, after you go to the hospital and the rehab and how it affected your life and, you know, what people said and did. And so it's a very, like, accidents can be challenging because there's, it's a very emotional, stressful time, you know, and the pain can get stuck, you know, in the body.
It's really
because,
disruptive, because you have to catch up. I mean, you're catching up on a lot. What am I going to do? You know, especially if you do make a living, you're a model, actress, you're making it on your looks. And if you're, like, bruised from head to toe, it's not going to be good for a while. You're right.
Yeah.
A lot goes into it. Mentally is just as important as physically. So, wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad that you did come on and shared all of this with us. And Johnny needs to do the shout-out for your website again for you. But, everybody, we will have it in the show description. Plus, we will most likely post this on our YouTube, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube as well. And but always check our next show listing on our Blog Talk Radio. Life, Laughter, Happiness, Blog Talk Radio. I mean, what more do I say, Johnny? Do you have anything else?
That's it.
Okay, well,
thanks,
Jennifer, and give her the shout-out of where we can find her. Do her that honor, please, and we will then say goodbye. Thank you, Jennifer.
The website is www.healyourpain.solutions is the website.
Yes.
It's on our link. It's on our website.
Say it one more time.
www.healyourpain.solutions is the URL we have.
Awesome. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Jennifer. You were awesome, and we will share this link to all of our social media places. Please become our friends everywhere. Did you know we're on Twitter, Facebook? We have a page. We have a group page. And I'll be on the lookout for your social media posts and share them from time to time on our group pages. So that was so fun. But now I'm not going to think of pain. I'm going to go for a walk, and I'll maybe get into the jacuzzi and deal with this hot summer
night.
Excellent. Okay.
I love it.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.